The Home Show with Tom Tynan podcast is made possible thanks to our partners like Ideal Roofing, installing quality material and quality workmanship.
It's Sunday morning, and this is Early Edition with Tom Tynan and Charlie Mosier.
Yes, it is. It's a very early edition of Tom Tynan and Charlie Mosier because we have the Texans playing at noon today. They're going to Cleveland. Hopefully they're already there, I would assume, and in their hotel room sleeping snugly like bugs in a rug. But hopefully they'll get up and play a good game like they did last week. But until then, it's home improvements until 9 o'clock today, starting with this first half hour where Charlie has a whole bunch of stuff we're going to do. Right, Charlie? Because I'm not prepared. What about you?
That's why I'm here.
There you go.
We're going to go over some questions we got from our homeshowradio.com Ask Tom section. That's what we do every Sunday morning. We get here, we answer some of those. We talk about home improvements. And then at about half past, I get out of the way and Tom starts taking phone calls with you. So that's kind of the agenda today. We're going to be talking today about air conditioning. Go figure, that came up. And I'm suddenly getting a whole fold back here at my end, guys.
It went away.
Anyway. Huh?
It went away.
What went away? Oh, the echo?
Fold back.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it came and went. Things like that happen in radio, Charlie. Believe me, I can attest to that.
Well, and there'll be more of that. And
a mixed minor.
Just to keep on time, help from Tom's Home Show Pros.
Yes, we are. And that happens to be on my list right here that Chad gave me that I have to pull out because, I just woke up. Bruce from Houston. Verlise, and of course David from RCW Nurseries, and Bert from Kiss Generators, which is timely after Hurricane whatever his name was,
Nicole. Right? No.
Nicole? I don't think so.
No.
I think it was Nicholas, there was Ida, but... and then there was Nicole something.
Well, he landed as Nicholas, but then, you know, quickly was downgraded to Nicole.
Oh, and I see. Kind of... Okay. True.
All right. So let's get to the questions here. He started in Escondido, California. That's where Robert's looking for some cool advice. He says, I've seen some home air conditioning systems, Tom, which have multiple evaporators, usually one in every big room mounted near the ceiling. These systems seem common in Japan and countries with high electrical costs. And you want to know, is the compressor on those things variable speed, and do they save enough money to be worth the cost? It sounds to me like he's talking about ductless mini split systems.
And they did originate in Europe, and so did the on-demand water heater, actually. In those parts of the world, they don't have... And people don't realize this. They think that everybody has a home the size that we do in Texas, 4,000, 5,000 square feet, family of three live there. It doesn't work that way in Europe. They have very limited space. But these systems aren't there to save money because the cost of electricity, which is incredibly high, by the way, in Europe, is saving them money. It's because of space. But do they work here? Absolutely. And they're becoming more and more popular because it eliminates the duct system. And I think the greatest advantage once people get used to it, kind of like an on-demand water heater, is the fact that you can adjust every room at the temperature you want. So you get exactly the comfort level you need without having to, let's say 6,000 square feet or 4,000, cool the entire house. So if you use it properly, you'll save money. If you don't, you won't. Do they work? They work fantastic. They're incredibly popular now.
All right. Well, coming up, David from RCW has tips on fighting weeds in your grass. But next, some first-time landlord advice from Bruce with Houston for Lease as Home Show Radio Early Edition continues on Sports Radio 610.
We just had a video on not too long ago about a cattywampus. They like to use that word on the video, too. I didn't invent it. My friend Brad did, but Brad is no longer with us because he was what we call old school. But it was a sidewalk that was all over the place. And Concrete Raising Corporation came out and uncattywamped us. Now, I just made that word up, and it didn't come out very smooth, but it's a good word because what happened was they put the sidewalk back to where it's supposed to be so you don't have to trip. You don't have to jiggle-jangle all over it. You don't have to jump up and down over the highs and the lows. And that sidewalk was put back just where it was supposed to be. Now, a lot of people say perfectly level. No, it's so the water can drain out. But the details really don't matter. What matters is, how do you do that? Well, there's not many people that know how to do it. Usually they jackhammer it out and re-pour it. But when you call Concrete Raising Corporation, they can take a sidewalk. They can take pieces of a driveway or sections. Let's say sections of a driveway. Or even your pool surround. And they can level it up and down and move it around, fill the voids with their different systems. And guess what? All of a sudden, you have an uncattywampus, a sidewalk, driveway, pool surround, patio, you name it. It's draining properly, and you're able to use it without, well, breaking a toe, a leg, or just walking through a puddle of water. Concrete Raising Corporation.
Hold on. You're saying that they perform a cattywampusectomy?
Yes, or it's anti-cattywampus. I don't know, whatever the case may be. One word was enough, but there's too many syllables. The fact of the matter is that you can see it all at homeshowradio.com. And then you don't, whether the word's there or not, doesn't matter. It's in the video. The video says it all. And they'll explain the two different types of methods they use. And when they come out to talk to you about can they fix your problem without having to jackhammer it out, well, it's worth a phone call. It doesn't cost you anything except just to talk to them. That's Concrete Raising Corporation. You can find them at homeshowradio.com.
There's a first time for everything, and that's a good time to have Tom's Home Show Pros handy. Hi, I'm Charlie. Tom's over there. This is Home Show Radio on Sports Radio 610, and we have a question about somebody who's renting the first time, so we're going to reach out to our Home Show Pro for leasing, and that's, of course, Bruce Lessie at Houston for Lease. Good morning, Bruce. Can you help us out with Christopher?
I sure can.
All right, let me tell you what he is. He's in East Bernard, and he says, I'm renting for the first time and need some advice. Can I require a tenant to purchase renter's insurance, and how do I establish a fair monthly rate?
As far as renter's insurance, you absolutely can require it. You can write it right in the lease. Tenants required within a certain period of time, usually about 10 days, to secure renter's insurance and provide the landlord with proof of that insurance. That's a well-established principle in the Texas Property Code, so no problem with that one. As far as the second part of your question goes, we talk about establishing rates. One of the things that we do at Houston for Lease is if we're contacted by an owner, we offer what's called a rental evaluation. It's a free service we provide. We'll run the comps on that neighborhood, see what is rented in that neighborhood, how long it took, what's the average price per square foot, and we'll give you some guidance on that. Then you can take that number, either advertise the property yourself or hire ourselves, and we'll lease it for you. We'll do all the work. We'll do the background check. And that's the other thing that you didn't mention in your question. When you secure a renter, you need to do an extremely thorough background check. The success of any lease, any rental, it depends on the quality of the tenant. If you get a first-class quality tenant, you'll have a great experience. If you don't, you'll be very disappointed in the whole experience. So quality tenant is the first thing you got to look for.
It's like anything else. You begin with the end in mind.
That's absolutely correct, Charlie.
That's right. All right. So number one, you can help them determine what a fair rate is. And number two, and that's a free service, which is great to know. I didn't know that you did that. And number two, you can require renter's insurance of every tenant in your building.
That is absolutely correct. There's some basics when you're a landlord. Renter's insurance, one of them, a complete background check is just as important.
That's what makes Bruce Tom's Home Show Pro for property management. And believe me, there's a lot more than just charge and rent and picking up, and you can learn all about that. If you go visit Bruce's page here at homeshowradio.com, you find his name on the homepage there, the Houston for Lease icon. Click on that, it'll take you to the page, and you can learn about it and connect with Bruce right there. Bruce, thanks for helping us out this morning.
My pleasure.
Every time of year is lawn season here in the Houston area, and Andrew in Atascocita is having trouble with his, so we're going to go to the guy who knows all about everything growing green, and that's David at RCW. He's our Home Show Pro for all things growing. Good morning, David. Can you help us out with Andrew?
Good morning, yes.
All right, so let me tell you what he's got in mind. He says, I don't know what I'm doing or what I'm looking for. I don't even know if I'm too late. It's a good start. He says, I'm living in my first house. I've had it for 2 years, and I feel like my lawn is more weeds than grass. I've heard you say MicroLife, but which one, or am I too late to use that to fix my problem? So what's your advice for him? I mean, first of all, I guess the first thing to figure out is what's grass and what's weed.
Right, identify how much weeds you have and how much St. Augustine you have. If you can identify that, and if you can isolate the spray and get rid of the weeds with a Miramichi organic spray or any something that selectively kills all the weeds you don't want in your yard, and then replant sod, and then definitely fertilize and microlize, especially for the fall, and then start back again in spring.
You can spot St. Augustine by just looking for the runners, is that right?
Yeah, St. Augustine is pretty identical. The wider blade is a little bit thicker grass than most weeds. Now, this is Bermuda grass, and that's a finer blade. And some people consider that a lawn as well. I mean, they use Bermuda all the time as lawns. It's a weed for in St. Augustine lawn, though.
I mean, if he figures out he's got mostly weed, would it be the answer then be to pull it up and then just lay some sod?
Yeah, till it up, rake it out, and then lay sod back down.
Is the fall a good time of year to be putting sod down?
It doesn't matter if it's dormant or if it's actually growing. You can plant it year-round. Just got to make sure you water it in because the roots will still grow even in the wintertime.
Is there any kind of prep we should do before we put sod down, David?
Definitely lightly till and grade and add a little bit of compost and make sure you have a really good fine grade because you don't want a lumpy yard or like these new builds you see in these homes where they just sloppy job on grading and you end up having all these little whoop-de-doos in your yard.
Nobody wants a whoop-de-doo. And after after we put the sod down, is there any kind of starter or anything we want to give it or just water it and let it?
I would use the MicroLife 624. You'd use the fall one now, which has a brown patch cornmeal to help prevent brown patch. But the 624 green one is what I would use.
All right. So that'll help Andrew get a greener grass and maybe everybody else, too. All right. That's why we trust David at RCW. That's why he's Tom's Home Show Pro for all things grown and green. And you can learn more about him. But all you got to do is go to homeshowradio.com to get in touch with him. He's there with all our other Home Show Pros right there on the homepage. David, thanks a lot for helping us out.
No problem. Thank you, Charlie.
You know, I get calls all the time about, Tom, I just want new cabinets put in my bathroom. Or I have a shower that just needs to be, the bathroom's nice, but I just need the shower redone. You think about remodeling as big projects where you have room additions and you're tearing out and gutting entire kitchens. Well, sometimes it doesn't have to be that big. Sometimes a smaller job can make it look like a brand new full-size job. And it's just a matter of who you call. And you want the best when you call people to do those kind of things. And I can tell you the people at Trifection, they handle those kind of jobs. It doesn't have to be a whole house remodeling. It can be just new cabinets in your kitchen. Because cabinets do wear out, and some of them aren't as made with the greatest quality, as I'm sure I know for a fact, as the greatest quality as what Trifection can do for you. I have them do small jobs in my house all the time. I just had cabinets built for my laundry room. It was a beautiful, beautiful thing. And that's the kind of work they do. A lot of people say, oh, well, don't call Trifection. They're too big. No, call Trifection and find out how they can make your house perfect for you. Whether it's a big job, a small job. Of course they do whole house remodeling. They do room additions. They will gut your bathroom and give you the bathroom of your dreams, all custom. Or just new countertops and cabinets in your kitchen. Or maybe just a brand new shower. Just convert a tub into a walk-in shower. As simple as that. Trifection, the experts. No job is something as well, I don't want to say too big or too small because they're not going to come out and replace a doorknob, but no job is going to be something that they don't want to take a look at first. So have them take a look at your remodel. Have them take a look at your dream that you want to do at your home. If it's something small or something big, Trifection can handle it all. And it's simple. 281 Kitchen is the number. 281 Kitchen. But the one thing, and I used to do this in my own business, the one thing that will be consistent is the quality craftsmanship. Whether a job is small, like I used to build small homes and I used to build giant homes for people. Doesn't matter the size, the quality was always the same. And you get that same attention to detail from Trifection. That's 281 Kitchen. Don't shy away from calling them because our sponsors, our certified home show pros, are the best out there and they want to make your house perfect for you.
Home Show Radio Early Edition continues here on this early morning. The Texans are in Cleveland. I don't know what they did wrong, but that's where they are. No, they're in Cleveland to play the Browns today, and that's why we're on early this morning. Normally, we'd be on at 8 o'clock. We're on at 7, so we can get out of the way for the pregame festivities that are coming up. But if I'm supposed to mention right now that every Thursday, I feel like Joe Biden, I've been told to say Thursdays at 4 p.m. Central, we do our Facebook Live show. And that's Tom and me, and we answer questions, and we take questions from people watching the show. And it'd be fun if you want to join us. You'll find us. All you got to do is follow us on Facebook or subscribe to our YouTube channel, and you'll get an alert when we go live just to remind you that we're there and doing the show, and love to have you join us. All right, Tom, back to the questions. I got one here for you from Atchafalaya, Louisiana. That's where we find Rusty, i.e. And he says, what's your advice for insulation under a pier and beam new construction home? And also under an air-conditioned space over a garage. I'm building in southern Louisiana where it's hot and humid, Texas style, and we're worried about moisture issues. We're planning on keeping the AC at about 70, and we'll be using laminate flooring under underlayment and some ceramic tile. What's your advice?
Well, my advice as far as the insulation goes, I like the idea of 70. I like the different floors. I think they'll be fine down there. In fact, I know they will. And if you talk about humid and just like here, yes, Louisiana is the perfect example of humidity. It's not the heat, it's the humidity, that's for sure. And as far as insulation goes, between an air-conditioned space such as the garage, because it's a drier environment than, say, outside or underneath your house, and you do get a lot of heat gain in a garage. And the reason I say that is because garages, and we get the calls all the time in the summer right now, get super hot. So you have this hot box, this heat source underneath there. So insulate that with, it should be a minimum of an R19. If not, you can reach an R30 with a little bit more thickness and a formaldehyde-free fiberglass. Now, that's totally opposite from underneath the home because it's not a hot box. In fact, underneath a home, if it's vented properly, which it should be to remove the humidity, it's actually rather cool. There's no heat gain underneath the house because it's so close to the ground and it's in shade all the time. And it's not a box underneath a home that's got a lot of hot air in there like the garage does. So I would tell you, if you don't have to insulate at all, don't. Let it breathe, let it stay dry. Because remember, we talked about humidity more so than heat. It's not always the heat. It is the, what we call latent heat, which is the humidity. And that's what you're trying to control. And you do that in an attic, and you do it underneath a home with airflow. So if I had my druthers, no insulation at all underneath the home, and definitely insulation between the floors over a garage for sure, because it gets to be such a hot box in the summer. And if you have to insulate under a home, because sometimes, depending where you build, the local city and county requirements say you have to meet an energy code, then an unfaced formaldehyde-free fiberglass put up with either strapping or some kind of poultry wire or something to keep all the critters out. Do that, but don't forget to let it breathe under there to keep it dry also.
Only if you have to. All right. Still to come, we'll make sure your life goes on even when the power goes off with help from Bert at Kiss Generators as we continue with Early Edition here on Sports Radio 610.
Home Show Early Edition continues, giving you the power of knowledge. And, of course, what you need when the power goes out is some reliable juice, and that's why we have our Home Show Pros at Kiss Generators. And it's where I find Bert this morning, who's ready to help me and Tom answer a question from you. Bert, I got a tight space question. Is this something you can help us with?
Good morning, Charlie. Yes, we can help you with that. So that's our specialty.
Perfect. That's why we got you. Bob in Uptown says that with hurricane season here, his wife and he have decided to pull the pin and get a home generator, but they're in the gallery area with a tight space. What kind of challenge does that give you in putting a generator in?
Well, it gets our creative juices flowing. We're able to size the generator and where we can place it on your property.
What kind of space do you need for a small size generator?
Kohler has 8 and 10 kW generators, all the way up to the 20 air-cooled versions. And now those the 20 has the larger footprint, of course. The 8 and the 10s have limited availability on the electrical supply, but they offer us a smaller footprint in order to put it somewhere and make it comfortable for you as well.
So in that case, you'd have to make some choices about what that generator is going to power. Can you set it up to where the generator can alternate different things depending on what you're using?
Yes, we can use load shedding in order to prioritize certain circuits, and that way the entire building is on the generator. However, only certain circuits can be used at the same time.
Like, for instance, if you decide to run the your electric oven, suddenly your dishwasher is not going to be available or something like that.
That's correct.
Of course, the first thing you have to do is put it in. And imagine you've got to jump through some hoops to get a generator in a town home community like that. Is that something that you help people do when you put the generator in, or is that up to the customer to handle?
Well, we'll sit with the client. We'll review the property lines. We review the plot lines. If there's any permitting that's going to be required, we handle all the permitting. Now, dealing with your HOA, that will have to be done by the client. That is not something we like to get between the HOA and their client.
But you can help give us some guidance and tips in getting that done, though.
Absolutely. We can provide drawings. We can provide placement. We can take the plot plan. We can modify that plot plan so that it reflects where we want to put the generator, so that that then can be provided to the HOA for their approval.
The moral of the story is, don't assume you can't fit a generator in your space until you talk to someone who knows how to do it.
We develop creative ideas on installing generators all the time, so there is no spot that we have an impossible task at.
Which is what makes them our Home Show Pro for standby power. It's KISS Generator. You can learn more about them at homeshowradio.com. Bert, thanks for helping us out this morning.
Thank you, Charlie. Have a great day.
You know, we just had a hurricane bypass us. It didn't turn out to be as much as it could have been.
Kind of flanked us.
But I tell you what, it did some damage in some other parts of Texas and some other areas, too.
In New England.
But, yeah. Well, no, I don't think this one hit New England. That was the other. Was Ida. Ida's the one that destroyed those people.
That's right. I'm sorry. Yes. That Ida. You're right. Yes. You're right.
Yes. But what I'm telling you is you, here in Houston, you always have to be prepared. And what's most important is your roof. You know, I always tell people the most important things are your foundation, your framing, and your roofing. And in the Gulf Coast area, when we do get those storms, you don't have time to fix your roof before it hits. You have time just to prepare for when it does hit, if it does at all. And when it does, it can be a mess. But your roof needs to hold up. So we have special conditions we have to deal with. We have special applications and specifications when you put on a roof in this area. It's not like other parts of the country. My son lives in Santa Fe, New Mexico. They could care less about their roof. It never rains. Here, it does a lot. So if you need a new roof, if you have any roof damage from prior storms, or if you just don't know, you know, you can get a roof maintenance program going like I have with my roof, and I do it with Ideal Roofing. So I'm always assured I'm prepared. Your roof is a very important thing to have in good shape when those storms come through. And let me tell you, for those of you here in Houston, it's not just hurricane season. In the wintertime, when those fronts come through, they can be hellacious. Yeah, that's a word we use down here. Anyway, Ideal Roofing is a company that's been in this town for decades, taking care of people's roofs, and they take care of the Gulf Coast area here in the Houston area, and they know how to do it. In fact, if it's a windstorm roof that's required in your area, they can handle it. Ideal Roofing, a GAF Master Elite Roofing contractor with the longest and strongest warranties in the business. Just give them a call at 713-896-1122. Don't forego the experience when it comes to a roof, and certainly don't go with the cheapest price, but you don't have to go with the most expensive. Go with a competitive company that knows this area. Go with Ideal Roofing.
Welcome back to Early Edition of Home Show Radio with Charlie Mosier and Tom Tynan.
You know what Wednesday is, Tom?
It's a day after Tuesday.
It's the arrives at in September. Fall, autumn. It begins officially.
Yeah. Oh yeah, like yes, in Houston, you know, we have thing fall between, on Monday.
The thing between summer and winter, you know.
Well, yeah, in some parts of the country, but yeah, it's true. You always have official dates. It never really fits with what our fall and our spring, because that's what Houston usually is.
Yeah,
is it, no. It's summer and it? Summer and spring. Is that what we have here?
Yeah, there were actually six seasons in New England where I grew up.
That's
true. You had summer, fall, no CM season, then winter. You know, you'd have those bugs.
Know those. Yes.
And then in the spring, you'd have winter, mud, spring.
My grandfather had a name for those no-see-ums. They were called those little sumbitches.
You're right. Just summon Jackie Gleason in your mind, and you'll know what Tom's trying to say.
Exactly. Right. That's what it said, yes.
Let me shoehorn in one question here before we get out of here. Tabitha in Humble says, our home was built in 1978 on a concrete slab. What would be causing the floors to have moisture? They have engineered birch wood floors down there, and it looks like water's getting underneath and making them peel. They're kind of delaminating. Also, we have a bedroom that gets moisture in the carpet. What can we do?
Usually, there's one of two things that cause moisture through a slab, and that is either really poor drainage after the heavy rainstorms and stuff. And I've got a lot of calls like this year because of all the rain we had at the beginning of the summer. And the other thing is an underground plumbing leak. It doesn't have to be exactly where the plumbing is, but it can be leaking under there. And it's like any kind of leak in your home. It might leak over here, but you don't see it till it gets over there. So those are the two things that cause a lot of heavy moisture in a concrete slab. And the last thing that is more rare is an air conditioning system that's not dehumidifying or not being run at all. And if you have a issue where you don't run your air conditioner, and believe it or not, there's some people that do for different reasons, then it can do all kinds of damage to floor covering and any kind of other building materials you have, as well as your furniture and stuff in your home.
So I guess the easiest thing to do would be by checking the grading routes, then maybe calling Ideal Roofing and get... come and look.
Yeah, you've
at the
got
roof.
Several contractors. You have Ideal Roofing to make sure, obviously, right. There's no roof leak, and that you want to do. You can call Abacus Plumbing and have a hydrostatic test done on your plumbing.
Okay.
You can call Mike Ball Irrigation, Landscaping, and Lighting for all the irrigation issues, which might even mean gutters, where Jimmy from Custom Gutters comes in. Let me tell you, we got it covered here at Home Show Radio. But the most important thing, I would start with a visual look from a flooring company to see, because you're going to have to get new flooring anyway. I would like to see why it's happening, and maybe they can give you a direction. I think the most common thing will be either an irrigation, which would be Mike Ball, or a plumbing test on a shower pan or a drain line, which is a hydrostatic test, and that would be Abacus Plumbing.
All right, we're wicked long here, so I'll get out of the way here.
You asked me, I had to get it all in.
I know. Well, we it's a conflict between, we're conflicted between taking care of the answer and taking care of the clock. And Tom and I believe the answer comes first, so there it is. And you come first right now if you want to get with Tom. He'll be here for the next hour and a half. 281-496-5711 is the number to call. 281-496-5711. Thanks to all our pros here this morning. Bruce from Houston for Lease, David from RCW, and Bert from Kiss Generators. They were all here, and all their answers, if you missed any of them, if you're still coming to consciousness, they're available for you anytime you want at homeshowradio.com under the Early Edition tab. Hey, if you want to get your questions in on the show, it's easy peasy. All you got to do is visit homeshowradio.com and click on that Ask Tom button. Fill out the form and send them in, and we'll use them here or in our daily Ask Tom videos or our Thursday 4 o'clock Central Time Facebook Live broadcast. It's all there for you. Of course, Tom's here for the next hour and a half taking your questions. Give him a call. I'm Charlie, back next Sunday with another Early Edition.
Got a question? Ask Tom on Home Show Radio.
Hi, Tom. I have an air conditioning question.
Hey, Tom. Got a challenge. I got an electrical problem in my house. Home Show Radio.
That's the number to call. I'll be with you until 9 o'clock today, about an hour and 20 minutes. 281-496-5711. And we will talk to you about your home improvements. Let's see. We have open lines, and we have a caller waiting, so we're going to get right to him. Let's talk to Terry. Terry, you're on Home Show Radio.
Mr. Tom, I want to ask you. I got a senior citizen. We're both senior citizens, and we're on fixed incomes.
Yes, sir.
And my wife is in rehab, and when she comes out in like 18 days, she's going to need a wheelchair ramp. Going up to our double wide trailer, and I've called everybody from the state all the way down, and I can't find anybody that's qualified to install an ADA wheelchair ramp assembly, whether it's wood or metal. You know, I was thinking maybe there were some volunteers that do that. I can pay for the material.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know of anybody that does that. I can tell you, on a wheelchair ramp, you want 1 inch per foot of drop so that the person can actually wheel themselves up and down. So they're usually a lot bigger than people expect. And you want it at least 3 feet wide. And so that those are the specifications for it. But and you want handrails and a wheel well on the bottom so the wheels can't go over the edge. But as far as that goes, I don't know of anybody that does that for state or anything of that nature. There might be somebody out there, but I'm not familiar with them.
Well, they got a program. It's called Texas Ramps.
Uh-huh.
But you got to get on a waiting list, and the money is allocated to the month before. In other words, like this month, when the money comes in next month, it'll go for the people that's on the waiting list for this month.
Right.
So, all right, well.
And that's probably, there's not a lot of people that do it. That's why that's probably a waiting list. So.
Yeah. I got one other question.
Yes, sir.
I have a 24-foot moving container, like Hertz carries office furniture around in.
Yes.
And I was going to insulate. I insulated the inside with that 1-inch pink insulation down the walls.
Okay.
Do I have to worry about any kind of sweating in between the insulation and the fiberglass walls there?
It's up against the wall, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
If it's up against the wall and the air doesn't touch the actual metal wall, you'll be fine. That's exactly what you're supposed to do.
It's a fiberglass wall.
Okay, well, fiberglass, too. No, if it's against it, there should be no sweating.
Okay, but where the joints come together, where they butt together, do I need to seal that off?
No, if it's fiberglass and not steel, when you said shipping container, I automatically thought of metal. It should be fine because fiberglass is not a conductor material. It's a resistor, so it's fine.
Okay, that's why I need to know before I spend some more money on it.
Yeah, no, don't. I think you're perfectly fine if it's one of those fiberglass containers. You're perfectly fine.
Yes. Yeah, Hertz is the one that the container used to be to.
Yeah, that's fine.
But, all right. Thanks, sir.
Oh, you're welcome. And get creative with it. But remember, metal will sweat. Fiberglass, not so much. I mean, it could, but the dew point has to reach before it gets to that point where it turns to a liquid. But metal will do that, and that's why we put koozies on, you know, cans of soda and stuff when you're outside and drinking those kind of beverages, which are not good for you. All right, we'll leave it at that. All right, call me, 281-496-5711. James Hardy Building Products is the maker of the siding that probably is the best siding you could ever get your hands on. I know for the Gulf Coast, it's perfect. And perfect, I don't use much. Not many things are perfect. I don't know very many at all, but Hardy is when it comes to what it does, and that is it holds back the elements. It looks fantastic. It does, and what it doesn't do, it does not rot. It does not get eaten by termites. It does not get eaten by carpenter ants. It does not burn. It does not expand, contract, and curl and split. It just doesn't do any of those things. It's incredibly stable. And to use it as a siding is pure genius. It truly is. And you can be one of those geniuses. If you're going to build a new home, if you're going to reside the one you have, be a genius. Make sure you request. Make sure you demand, you know, in a nice way. I mean, you just say it's going to be Hardy or nothing. And then you put the Hardy siding system on your home. Do you do it? You can. And you want to find out more information how to do it, you can go to their website through ours at homeshowradio.com. Do you want to have somebody put it on for you? Then we have a place for you to go that are probably some of the best people, if not the best people in the whole city. And that is at homeshowhardypros.com. That's homeshowhardypros.com.
Now back to Home Show Radio with Tom Tynan.
281-496-5711. We're on early today from 7 to 9 because here at Sports Radio 610, they are the station of the Texans. And the Texans are in Cleveland playing the Browns today at 12 noon right here on Sports Radio 610. But for right now, it's still home improvements. Let's talk to Ray. Ray, you're on Home Show Radio.
Hey, Tom. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
I'm trying to do some preventive maintenance on water heaters. Aren't you supposed to drain them every once in a while to get all the calcium deposits and trash out of them?
If you followed the manufacturer's recommendations and you wanted to be successful at this, you would have to drain them every 3 months from the very first day you put it in. Really? Nobody's going to do that. I'm just telling you right now. I wouldn't do it. I'd just soon throw it away after 13 years and get another one. I'm not going to go through that. If you try to drain it 5 years later, 6 years later, you're going to end up doing nothing but causing you a big pile of headaches. So if it's older, just leave it alone, and we can find better things for you to do than that.
Well, good. I'll just mark that off my bucket list.
Now, most water heaters last 10 to 13 years, and then they have problems. Maybe not, but that's just an average. Mine's 22 years old, but the reason is I have a water softener on my house. Mine will probably last 40 years because I have a water softener. If you get a water softener, then that would eliminate that damage from hard water, but it's also in your washing machines, your dishwashers, everything else. So there are other routes you can take if you're really concerned. But as far as you doing that maintenance, Ray, please let's have some fun. Go do something else. I'm serious. Yeah, go smoke a brisket and sit out back with a beer, man. It ain't worth it.
Yeah, well, I just got this house. We moved in right before Hurricane Harvey hit.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't flood.
Good.
Moved out of the apartment. It did flood, so I'm blessed.
Cool.
There.
Well, you were one lucky ones. Thank you. That's great.
But I'm just looking at the house. Got a new roof on it.
Mm-hmm.
How old's the house? What do I need to be proactive on? And
I'll tell you exactly what you need to be proactive on.
I don't know nothing about the water heater.
Okay, well, don't worry about the water heater. If it's working, it's fine. Proactive. You keep your air conditioning system. You get a professional check every year. You do a visual check on your home every year. You got to look up at the roof and stuff, make sure half the shingles haven't blown off in a wind. I mean, it's simple stuff. You look for termite trails at the bottom, and if it needs a paint job, you get a paint job. The house is not that much maintenance if you take care of it. If you find a doorknob that's loose, get your screwdriver out, fix it. People just tend to let things go until it just becomes overwhelming, but it's rather simple if you just take care of the little things. But as far as a water heater, if you don't have a water softener, it's going to be about 10, 13 years, and when it starts to go, you'll know it. One of two things will happen. It'll start to leak, or you won't get hot water one day, and you're going, dang it, it's cold, and then you need to get a new one.
And that'll be a cold day in January.
It's always the coldest day of the year, of course, when we have a snowstorm. Yes, absolutely. Why does it happen to me now? It doesn't matter. There's no good time for bad things to happen. It just happens.
You have a good day.
Thank you, Mark.
Okay.
And it does happen at the wrong time because there's no good time. That's just the way it is. So we'll have to just deal with life. It's what I always tell my students. Texas Southmost Colleges, just deal with it. It's life. And quit whining. You know, nobody wants anybody crying in their beer, that's for sure. All right, 281-496-5711. Let's just move on and talk about your garage door. Garage door is something that is going to talk to you when there's a problem. You know what it's going to say? It's going to say things like, oh, I'm binding. Have you ever been bound? Well, in certain ways. Maybe some of you like it, some of you don't. Maybe you are getting binding somewhere else. But either way, your garage door does that too. And when it does, you know what you want to do? You want to unbind it. And that means a tune-up. Garage doors get tune-ups. It's just the bottom line. That's what they get. Because they have all these moving parts and things that need to be addressed. And so Overhead Door Company of Houston on Main Street, the original, don't go with the imitators, the originals, they are there for you when it comes to doing a tune-up. You need a new garage door? Fine. I've had people call and say, Tom, we want to turn one door into two doors into one. It's going to be an odd-sized door. Where do we get it? They can have them made at any size you want. You want a smaller door, maybe for a shed, like a, you know, they make doors for golf carts. And those doors work real well for small shops. If you're doing a separate building somewhere, it's the Overhead Door Company of Houston on Main Street. Don't be fooled by the imitators. Go with the people that have been around for almost 100 years, since 1936 or maybe 32. Either way, who cares? It's a long time. And you know why they've been around that long? Because they must be doing something right. Don't be fooled by the imitators. Oh, that goes with any of our certified home show pros. Make sure you visit homeshowradio.com where you get all the proper correct contact information so you can make sure you contact the right people. That's the Overhead Door Company of Houston on Main Street.
You work hard for your money. Choose professionals who do the same. Choose experts who've earned Tom's trust. Certified Home Show Pros.
Trifection Kitchen and Bath, bringing together form, function, and fit in every project. Due West Foundation Repair. When you want the best, call Due West. Texas Floors. The come-to-you floor store. Service and savings you can stand upon.
Find Tom's directory of trusted Home Show Pros anytime for any project at homeshowradio.com. Now, more Home Show Radio with Tom Tynan.
281-496-5711. Let's talk to Doug. Doug, you're on Home Show Radio.
Good morning, Tom.
Hi.
Good morning, Tom. How are you?
I am fine, sir.
Hey, Tom, I live in West Columbia, which is about an hour south of Houston, and recently I inquired about getting some solar panels put on my house. I've had two companies come by. One company talked about putting up enough panels to cover 100% of my usage. Another company came in and talked about putting up enough to do 70% of my usage and getting a variance from my electric company where I get free electricity at nights. And there's all these plans coming out. What is your take on the solar industry as a whole, and where do you see it in the next 10 years?
Well, first off, what kind of cost did they give you on doing this?
Well, I have a very small little house of about 1,000 square feet.
Yes.
And one company that offered to do 70% of my electric and get on a night free plan from the electric company was going to cost me $45 a month, which is...
So you're just paying them a monthly fee?
Yes. It's a lease. It's a lease of the equipment. That way, if a storm hits it, hail hits it, whatever, it's covered.
Yeah, what they do is they take the electricity and they sell it back to make their money. And so that's what they're using your home as a conduit, so to speak. And that's been done across the country. It's not very prevalent here yet. If they did enough, it would be worth it. But I don't know if you want to get into all that and do that. What did the other company do the same thing, or were they giving you an outright price to do the whole thing?
The first company I talked to, we're going to do 100% solar. I would get the rebate for the sale, but the cost was going to be like $35,000.
Right. That's more common from what I'm hearing as far as people doing this. And what's happening is it doesn't make any sense money-wise to do it. $35,000 for you to ever see your money back, unless are you writing a check for it, or are you going to finance it?
I was originally going to write a check for it when I found out the price, but I had to back off a little bit, so...
Yeah, my son just went through this with his house, so we made some compromises and ended up he's getting a solar water heater system instead for $2,000, which is going to save him more money than than putting all that in as far as the payback goes. But as far as that goes, where is it going? Where is it right now? Right now, it's in industry. It is industrial use, and it works very well. It's working well for solar farms. Most of the military bases here in the country are going that way because they want to be self-sufficient where solar is an option. So you see a lot of big scale projects. As far as individual homes, the pricing is not there. The solar panels have to be replaced every like 10 to 15 years because they do go bad after a while. You have to get up and clean them all the time. You can't just let them sit up there. They just lose their effectiveness very quickly when they get dirty, and they will get dirty in this area. So there's a lot of maintenance to it on a regular basis that people don't realize. But the cost of $35,000 it doesn't make any sense at all. You could do much better things with your money, and cost of electricity is relatively cheap, to be honest with you. It's been cheaper now than it was 20 years ago. As far as that the lease deal, I don't know all the specifics. I'd have to read it. But what they're doing is they're giving you some, and then they're taking the rest away. But they're also locking you into a plan with a provider that's supposedly giving you free nights. But read the fine print on that one, because when you do need it, the rates are outrageous. as far as how much you're paying when you do have to buy it from, when you don't have a sunny day or you have downtime or your batteries aren't storing what you need or your need goes up. It's not the what it tends to be. So read the fine print very carefully.
Tom,
where's it going? I don't think it'll ever be used on an individual basis because of the fact that it hurts the roof itself. There's a lot of maintenance. If you need to do any repair work, all those panels have to come down. It's a big expense for homeowners, and it's not going to pay itself back because it's so expensive to install. So there's a lot of downsides. Now, where I do see it happening, but I don't think our country will ever let it happen, and it's happening in other countries, is if you take co-ops and you do a field for, say, a neighborhood, and everybody pays into that neighborhood, and the power comes from solar. Those are options that are working all over the world. They don't want to do it here because industry has got their foot in it, and industry is not going to allow that kind of thing to happen because they're going to lose too much money.
But it's up to you.
I think it's not a good way to go. If I could tell people, if they're always worried about the clean green deal or whatever, they want to save money, the number one thing we could do across half of the United States is install very inexpensive solar water heaters where you never have to pay for hot water again, and it can be used on a portion of your heating too, because you can get into using it as a heat system also in the wintertime. And it's very inexpensive, and that's when my son and I had that conversation when he looked into it. He said, Dad, you're right. If everybody would do that, the energy usage in the country as a whole would go down tremendously. But people don't want to do the common sense things. They want to sell the big products for the big money.
Well, if I wanted to look into that solar water heater, where in Houston would I go?
Any plumber can install it. You can buy them online for as little as $250. I used to have a class back at Miami-Dade Community College back in the 80s where we built weekend solar water heaters. You have a kit you put together, and people would take them home, and they never had to pay for hot water again. They're very simple to use. They're passive heaters that hook into your water heating system. And pretty much the biggest problem is you have to make sure you don't scald yourself because it gets so hot when you use it. But they're very simple. You can just Google it, and you'll find all kinds of water heaters. It's only one panel in a tank, and it sits on a stand. It can go right in your backyard. And I do see some other things like pool pumps and things of that for motors that run during the day. You have one panel that runs that motor all day, so you don't pay for your pool equipment to be running all the time. There's lots of little applications that can add up for people that don't take such a big expense.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you.
You're welcome. Try to work it on a small scale for your home. But my thing, I'm going to look into putting a panel on for my natural gas water heat. I've got that on demand, so I'm saving so much money. It's incredible at my own house. But as far as my pool pump, I think I'm going to put a panel up and just run the motors, maybe two panels. You don't need a whole array just to run the pump motor all day. And let's face it, it runs during the day. It doesn't run at night. I don't need a battery to go with it because you don't use it at night, and it's little things like that you can do a lot with a little. But as far as you getting off the grid with solar and having a air conditioning system and stuff, it's pretty difficult to do, and the cost is outrageous, so it doesn't make any sense unless you just don't have any other option because you don't have access to the grid. And when we do it all together as a whole, as a community, it becomes very inexpensive. And it makes a lot of sense for the overall picture. If they really want to get into, global warming issues and stuff, so be it. But that's where the real effectiveness is going to happen when full countries do it, when full communities do it. If you do it on an individual basis, it's just a feel-good thing that really doesn't help at all. And I can tell you, I just was looking at the car chargers that are going to be going in the infrastructure program across the country. If they build all these highways, they're going to put electric car chargers all up and down the highways where there's no grid. You know what they run with? They run with diesel fuel. I know this because I'm starting a diesel mechanic program at Texas Southmost College now. In fact, we have a big kickoff on Tuesday where I have to give a speech to all the industry partners we have coming down here in the valley in Texas. And what good is it if you're charging electric cars with diesel motors and fuel? See, some of this stuff doesn't make a lot of sense. And then you have to have trucks deliver the diesel and keep everything full. So there's a lot of hoo-hoo and ha-ha when it comes to the politics behind it. It's just not going down the right road by any means. And I want you to be careful. And the worst thing you can do is think you're doing something good and doing something even worse. And that's what's happening right now with a lot of the industry. A lot of tax money's involved. A lot of people are getting are paying for stuff that they shouldn't be paying for in other ways. The money, it's a money-making game. And I don't want you to be the sucker, because there's a lot of suckers out there that end up getting caught up in this thinking they're doing something good and they're not. In fact, they are putting their energies in the wrong place. All right, we're going to move on here, and I want to tell you about Houston for Lease. If you want to be a landlord, it seems to be a bad word right now because of all this issues with renters in your home who didn't pay for months and months and months because the government took tax money, said they were going to pay them, never did. And we have small businesses, landlords all over, who are going to lose their properties. They're going to go in all kinds of trouble. It is just a mess. And you know why? Because it wasn't managed right. They could have got around it all if they were smart. And if you want to make money, and it's a good business to be in, and if you want to take advantage of your, because the rental business is big money. Let me tell you, I just sold a piece of property to a company that's in the rental business, and they are a multimillion dollar company because they just know what they're doing because they're running it right. You can do it on a small scale too and have your own little business, and you don't have to do a thing except make a phone call to Bruce Lessie at Houston for Lease. He knows the rental industry. You won't be caught up and get caught up in that backlash from something that just happened here during the pandemic, where rents were, they just were not paid and people weren't evicted and you had all kinds of problems. You can avoid all that with the right property manager. So don't be shying away from it. Just be smart about it. Surround yourself with the right people, and you will be a success no matter what you want to do. And when it comes to the property you have, call Bruce Lessie at Houston for Lease. See if you can make it an income-producing property for you. If you're not going to live there anymore and you owned it for all those years, don't get rid of it. Use it. If you're in the business and you've had enough of it, don't just jump out yet. Call Bruce Lessie and see if he can take over all the headaches and just make sure you get your check each month. They do a great job when it comes to property management. When I say they, it's Bruce Lessie. He's the head of they. But they, it's very important to have a they. They are all the team that takes care of all the property headaches, from the call in the middle of the night with no hot water or no air conditioning system, to just the inspections and doing the background checks and making sure you get the right renters. I'm a renter. Down here in Brownsville, I'm a renter. I'm a good renter. My landlord loves me. I pay on time, and I appreciate the fact that she lets me live in her property, and I appreciate paying for it. There are people like me out there that can rent your place too, and Bruce Lessie will find them. Call Bruce Lessie at Houston for Lease, and don't get scared off by what you see in the news. It can be a viable business for you, whether you have one property or maybe you have 10 and you're tired of managing them all the time. Let him take over. Still get the money. And don't have the headaches when you call Bruce Lessie at Houston for Lease.
Getting the yard and garden you really want is easy with help from the Home Show Garden Pros. Houston's leading independent, locally owned nurseries come together with Danny Milligan. Saturday, 7 till 9.
What do y'all recommend as a weed killer?
Answering questions anytime at homeshowgardenpros.com. Videos, advice, tips, and the Garden Pros podcast. Always on, always free. Helping you be a better gardener. The Home Show Garden Pros. Saturday, 7 till 9 on Sports Radio 610.
And online anytime
at homeshowgardenpros.com.
Stay tuned. Home Show Radio will return shortly.